WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the holiday season, which means I shamelessly bring every friend of mine on who's ever written a book and tell you to buy them for the holidays. Before they do that, I've got to tell you about the Maryland Lottery and our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Comes to my homeland, my home away from home in Dundalk for my 30th anniversary. My 30th anniversary is Monday. Kenny Albert will be joining us on the anniversary to celebrate the original day. December 13th, 1991. It's crazy. It's been 30 years. We'll be celebrating on Wednesday, the 15th at Costas. Come on out in the afternoon. Have a beer. Have a crab cake. They're serving me crab imperial to make me feel very stately and king-like. I've known this guy most of my adult life, and certainly part of my childhood was spent with his brother. We were colleagues at the Baltimore Sun. He covered the Baltimore Blast back in the day, amongst many other things, and went on to a life in Milwaukee of all sorts of journals and Sentinels and things like that. But Bob Glauber has remained in Gotham. He has inked a book called The Forgotten First, along with Keyshawn. Why does Keyshawn's name higher, bigger than yours? I don't know. We'll figure that out. All things about the color barrier, but more than that, covers the Giants, the Jets, the National Football League, votes on Hall of Fames and stuff like that. And more than that, makes me smile when we get together. Glauber, how the heck are you? Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Hello, Nestor.
What's going on, brother?
I haven't felt that energy in a long time since the last time I saw you.
We should come on my show more often.
Yeah. By the way, just so you know, I did not get dressed up for you.
Good.
I'd have had a t-shirt on.
Well, I let my hair down. People are asking, like, what's going on with the hair? I mean, Justin Tucker shouting me out and Harbaugh. I usually put it back in a ponytail, but I let it out because I'm letting myself play. You know, we have, like, legal sports wagering opening in our state here this week, and everybody's excited. So I'm letting my hair down just for that, for my lottery sponsor, for the Crab Cake Tour. It's my 30th anniversary. The Ravens got beat by the Steelers. I'm trying to get through the holidays here. We're wearing masks, man, you know? I'm reading books.
Congratulations on the 30 years. That's incredible. I've seen all the hairstyles in that time. I've seen short. I've seen long.
Spike blonde.
I've probably seen blonde. I don't remember it, but I'm sure that if it existed, I saw it.
Well, you sat with me at every Super Bowl, and you're writing books now, and we got Lamar issues here and all that. The book's been out a couple of months. I was trying to get you and Keyshawn on together. You've done a lot of promotion for it, but give me a little background on the book, because more than anything, you can write a book on a lot of things. You've written other books. We never get rich when we write these books, so they really do become a passion play. No, you didn't write this thinking it's going to change your life or buy your next house. You wrote it because you felt like it needed to be written at this point, I think, for any of us, right?
Are you saying I should have asked more on the advance?
Well, I'm sure you did okay, but, you could afford the books behind you.
I'm kidding. No, listen, you talk about a passion play, passion project. This was it, Nestor. You know, it was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was in the Giants locker room. I'm just looking around, and it just hits me. I'm curious. I'm a journalist. You know, this is a very diverse workplace when it really comes down to it, right? It's black and white. It's, you know, you have to be good to be in this locker room. It doesn't matter your skin color. And then I'm thinking, well, was it always like this? No, it wasn't. And even in the time I started covering, starting in 85, it was a whiter locker room. And then I'm like, okay, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball. Was there a similar thing in football? And I didn't know. Like, I'm covering the league for more than 30. I don't know the answer to
that. I think I would say Motley is what it would be. Is that right or wrong?
Well, Motley was, you know, there. He was among this group of four. There had been no black players in the NFL, zero, from 1933 to 1945. Kenny Washington and Woody Strode signed with the Rams that year, and Marion Motley and Bill Willis signed with the Browns that year.
See, when I think Motley, I think of that name as being the Jackie Robinson. And dude, I've been doing sports radio for 30 years, and I don't know, and I have not heard a lot about Kenny. These other names, Woody Strode, Kenny Washington, Bill Willis, those are names I'm not really familiar with, like right. in the way that I should be for the cover of a book.
Totally, totally, Nestor. So we found this little niche, and it's not so little, but it's this important part of NFL history that is not a good part of NFL history. They don't trumpet this part of the fact that they banned black players for 12 years, right? This is 70% African-American football league right now. So the NFL doesn't go back and say, hey, you know what? We had no black players. Hello? They don't do that. But these guys were the first four from, you know, from this time of a ban on black players. You know, they don't call it a ban. But there were no black players.
It is amazing when you control the message, you control the history, right? Like literally,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like there's no wing for this in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you know, because it's shameful.
It is a shameful part of it. And a lot of it goes back to Washington and George Preston Marshall, the owner of the Washington.
I was going to say, he's the famous racist. Like when I think of the baseball owners, I think of Branch Rickey and those guys. I've been to the Negro Baseball Hall of Fame. It's called a library officially in Kansas City. I don't want to call it a Hall of Fame because that's the wrong title for it. But I've walked through there and seen the history of all of it. And I just think, well, the baseball owners are still racist to me, and it's still as an apparicio, doing more research on how Frank Robinson and Louie got here and, like, all of that, and how I got here, quite frankly, to this country and my family. You know, my cousin coming over being a baseball player is the only reason I'm here, still, to piss off Peter Angelos. But I would say with football, was George Preston Marshall was sort of famously racist, but I'm sure he's just a famous one. I'm sure when you go back and do the history on this, there was quite a little coalition, right? A little cartel.
Well, Nestor, there are no records. There's nothing written down. There's nothing that's codified in the NFL Constitution about black players not being allowed. But it was an agreement, basically an understanding. And George Preston Marshall was absolutely the face of that understanding. And he was outwardly racist. He was unapologetically racist. He was a segregationist who grew up in West Virginia and bought a team in Boston and then moved it to Washington, I believe, in 1932. And then by 33, there are no black players. And he had the southernmost team in the league at that time for years, for decades. He owned the southern market. What does that mean? Well, do you think the fans in the South at that time wanted black players on the team? The answer was no. So it was kind of a perfect storm that Marshall would not allow black players on his team. And when he was pressed on it, he once said, well, I'll sign a black player when the Harlem Globetrotters sign a white player. False equivalency right there. And it was just one of those lines that he had. And he was unapologetic about it.
I'm real familiar with that in modern life, by the way.
Really?
Well, yeah, you know, this is the reason you can't play because of this or that, and it's something else, and it's just sort of the gaslighting. It was literally gaslighting in a century ago.
Yes, and it wasn't even a century ago, right? It's less than that. So it's in the 30s, right? It's 90. Okay. We're getting older.
We're getting there, dude. It's 22 soon. Tick tock. Bob Glauber's here from Newsday and all things New York and all things sports and all things football. The book is The Forgotten First. And what would you say? This is a book about.
Okay. This is a book about the first African-American players to reintegrate modern pro football. But it is also a book that takes us to the present day. All right. So George Preston Marshall, we talked about him, openly racist. Well, last year, 1 year ago, his statue was removed in front of RFK Stadium. After the George Floyd killings, there was a lot of outcry. That story relates to today's football and today's world. And we do take it forward. So it's not just a history book. This takes it all the way forward to today. And in fact, you know, we talked about the owners willing to go along with George Preston Marshall. Well, there are four ownership groups left from that period. The Giants, the Cardinals, the Bears, and the Steelers. All four of those families, the grandfathers, I call the chapter The Sins of the Grandfathers. All four of those owners are the most progressive owners in the league as far as promoting diversity in the NFL, as far as players, as far as management, as far as coaches. I find it interesting. And, you know, people want to say, well, maybe the NFL doesn't want to advertise this. Well, you know what? They should advertise this because people change. Look no further than those families who kind of saw it, experienced it. And, you know, Dan Rooney's father, the chief, Art Rooney Sr., was part of this. He called it the biggest mistake of his life. What do we have now? We have the Rooney Rule as a way for black coaches to try to get a little bit more of a foothold in the head coaching and general manager ranks. So you know, this story does relate to today's NFL, but these four guys, they started it and nobody knows it. You don't know it. I didn't know it. Keyshawn didn't know it. Nobody knows it. It was a year before Jackie Robinson. And two of these guys played with Jackie Robinson on the UCLA football team, yet their memories are, they don't exist. So we're trying to shine a light on that.
Bob, I shine a light on, I was over in Wembley when the Ravens took the knee and that weekend and got their ass kicked by Jacksonville and all hell broke loose. And the president of the United States is calling African-American players sons of bitches, in social media. Every coach had an issue that weekend. Marvin was still coaching, and I remember talking to him about it. The Ravens obviously had their issues. But then in the aftermath of all the Colin Kaepernick thing, we watched the player get blackballed in real time in front of you, in front of me, in front of all of us, with or without press passes. Then COVID comes, and the league has so much scandal and so much shame in regard to what's going on with Gruden, what's going on with the aforementioned Washington football team, such shame that they have hundreds of thousands of emails that Congress is trying to get a hold of now. I don't know, dude. I watch it, and it's we love it. The games are close. We love Lamar here. We want to win despite all of our injuries. But the closer I get to the fire, the worse it smells. When I see Roger Goodell in the back of the press box, and I'm literally face-to-face saying, are you blackballing Colin Kaepernick? And he looks at me like I caught a fart. And what the truth is, he's just a gaslighter. No different than George Preston Marshall was 70 years ago. Just getting out on the front of it, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to push back on that one. Roger Goodell is not George Preston Marshall. And in fact, he's not. Come on.
He's not, but he's not. Willing to go along with
that. Listen, he admits it. The owners admit it. Colin Kaepernick.
They paid him, right? I mean, the dirty secrets. Yes, Gruden's going to get a fortune out of this too. When you get wronged, you get your money in the darkness over there. You know.
But think of it this way too. Remember when the players after the George Floyd killing. Many of the prominent black players in the NFL got together and did a video and said, Roger Goodell, say it, say Black Lives Matter. Well, it wasn't more than 2 days when he said it. He was on vacation in Maine. He made a video unbeknownst to any of the owners and he said it. He knew.
Steve Bisciotti made a video too, and I haven't seen him since, and I haven't been able to ask him a question. So there is some accountability. Like I'm getting a little bit more chippy here as locker rooms are shut and 2 years. I mean, I'm getting chippier about questions for all of it when things are changing in the league in regard to voices, in regard to NFL.com, in regard to how many team employees are at press conferences. So all of there is, and it does go back to this, and it does go back to power, and it does go back to Colin Kaepernick. What didn't happen in the 30s? That happened last week, literally. You know what I mean?
That's a big part of this book because, yes, that is the extension of what that era was all about. You know, history does not happen in a vacuum.
Eric Bieniemy still being an assistant, Marvin being unemployed out on a mountain in Scottsdale and like down the line, right? And Ozzie being one of still a handful ever, and it's been 3 decades, right?
Yeah.
So, you've taken on the topic, so you get me full on this because I am impassioned about it because I still think there's plenty of wrong out in the light that people like you and I need to shine light on.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm surprised the NFL hasn't kind of warmed more to this story. This is a good story for them right now. They didn't do it. Today's owners and Roger Goodell didn't do this. They've come.
They just let the George Preston Marshall sit out in front of their building for the last 50 years. That's all.
It's a 70% African-American league. Every end zone has the words end racism. We've got to, it takes all of us. They are welcoming this. It's like, okay, celebrate these guys. These are your Jackie Robinsons. Let the world know. It's a good thing. There'll be some things going on. I think the Rams are going to honor Kenny Washington and Woody Strode in their last game of the season, I believe. It's an important story, and it's like celebrate it now. I get a little.
Well, you wrote a book about it, man. Bob Glauber is here. The Forgotten First. I'm holding the book up if I get it in the middle. There you go. Look at that. Keyshawn Johnson, some good looking pictures. I got the paperback. Pick it up for the holiday. There you go. Bob will hold it up for you. Bob has a few copies laying around. Do you read all those books behind you on the Zoom or it just – no, no?
I have – no. Actually, I bought that at Walmart a couple of weeks ago. They have these –
I'm going. So I'm looking for Purple Rain too, and see if that's on the wall behind you.
I'm sure it's up there, man. But I have read almost all of these, and I like to brag. I had all my college books, every one of them, in my mother's attic, and the house was burned in a it was destroyed.
Oh.
That's just like that's like half. But I love reading. I love books, so I show up.
It's football season. A couple of just quick things here. Lamar sure. And the Ravens and all these injuries and all of these AFC North games stacked up and the holidays. They haven't looked good in 2 months, right? And the Bengals are up and down. Obviously, where the Steelers and the Browns are, we'll find out. Such a diminished team. It's so disappointing. I kidded Howard Balzer last week. I had him on top about St. Louis. I said, you put those Lindy's books together back in the spring, and last I checked, Humphrey's playing, Peters is playing, Wolf's going to play, like Ronnie Stanley, Dobbins, and it got the Gus Bus. Just all it's decimated this franchise.
Nestor. By the way, I should have known this. I'm sorry I'm asking you now. Are you related to Louis Aparicio? I'm serious.
Yes, I'll send you the link.
Okay, thank you. I grew up watching Louis Aparicio.
Louis came here, and I learned this after Frank died, looking for a picture of Frank and Louis together and not finding one, quite frankly, but finding a lot of New York-authored baseball stories about Bill Veeck and how Louis wound up in Baltimore. And racism was involved in everything in baseball, as was the reserve clause in the 60s. Steve Carlton wound up in Philadelphia because Augie Bush didn't like him. But most of the time, players of color moved around or didn't based on whether they could get along with their racist owner or not. So, yes.
Interesting. All right.
And by the way, Hofberger, who owned the Orioles, just a little history for you because you love this stuff. Hofberger, who owned the brewing company here in Baltimore, was an avowed anti-racist because he had lived through the Holocaust and his family in Europe. So he was a guy that hated racism. So he had no problem bringing in a black player and finding a good neighborhood for him to live in because he was a Hall of Fame player and he was going to help him sell beer and help his baseball team because it was the right thing to do, as was adding the diminutive little shortstop from the south side of Chicago. So there you go.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for that. Listen, you reeled off that list of players who are not in the Lindy's, not from the Lindy's advance to now, those players are gone. Okay? You reel them off. I get it. The fact that they are in playoff contention is amazing. Right? I mean, you got to give John Harbaugh that. He has done a fantastic job keeping this thing together because I remember – distinctly, I'm doing my preseason previews in September, early September. Ravens, oh boy, all those injuries. And they were already happening. This is going to be tough. But, they have persevered. Yes, the quality goes up and down. But Lamar is still an elite superstar player who can carry a team on his back. That defense is still good enough. Not perfect, but it's still good enough. And the coaching is extraordinary to keep this team together, to keep this team competitive in light of all those injuries. So, this is one of those things. I get it, Nestor, you're close to it, and I get that way with the teams I cover. Sometimes you get a little too close and you realize, well, wait a minute, if you pan back, well, this team is competitive. This team is in line for a playoff berth despite all those things happening. I look at that as great coaching and resourceful playing.
Does he ever call you Tom or no? I mean, because you just went on a thing there. If I snapshotted that, I could say John Harbaugh's brother-in-law talking great things about John. It's uncanny, you and Crean. It really is, right?
One of the highlights of my career. Ravens are in the Super Bowl. We are in, where was it, New Orleans?
Yes, we were. I remember parts of it.
We were in a press conference. You might have been in this press conference. I asked John Harbaugh a question. And I don't know what the question was. He looks down and he smiles and he goes, "Hey, Tom Crean." So, Newsday wrote a story about it. Like, oh, Glauber lookalike, Tom Crean lookalike, Bob Glauber gets a shout out from John Harbaugh. He knows about it. He has seen it. He talks about it all the time.
Have you taken a picture with Crean at any point?
Yes, yes. If you Google...
I will.
We had a meeting when he was the Marquette coach. I found out about it. On Cold Pizza, somebody mentioned it. Tom Rinaldi was co-hosting one day. And he says, you look like Tom Crean. And I go, who's Tom Crean? Because he was at Marquette. I didn't know.
You cover right? football. Yeah.
I cover football. So yeah. Then I looked at it. I'm like, that's really kind of scary. And I met him at the Garden at a practice when Marquette came into town. And I go in there, and my friend Neil Best was with me, and the players start looking over. I just noticed that they are looking over at us. And one player goes to the other.
Twin brother, cousin.
And I look over. It's amazing.
Dude, it's uncanny. I mean, I get that with Brad Pitt a lot, but we've never been in the same room together. So Bob Glauber is here from Newsday. The book is The Forgotten First. I wish I had you longer. Come back in the playoffs. If we're out in L.A. without mask, and I got my lottery mask, so I'll wear, if we're out in L.A. for the Super Bowl, hopefully you'll come by. And I always love visiting. Give my love to your brother, please, too, okay?
I will, Nestor. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. I appreciate it.
We had a hell of a Baltimore sports writer reunion with Molly Dunham and a million people down at the brewery a couple months ago. Had some legends come out. So tell your brother there's going to be another one next year. We're him and Rosenthal. We got a group of people we got to bring together here. All right.
Yep, will do.
Bob Glauber joining us here. He's got to get on the Jersey Turnpike and get to practice. I got to get over to Costas on the 15th. We're going to be bringing the Maryland Lottery Crab Cake Tour to you for my 30th anniversary. Big week this week. Ray Bachman stopping by. Andy Mueller, old producers, old friends. If Jim Harbaugh was available, I'd grab him. And John's a little busy this week. But we are going to have some celebs and some dignitaries joining us at Costas. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore. Positive.